Opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Will it force Kansas City to score a touchdown to win? Jamison Crowder, here come the laterals. Back to Cousins, who cannot catch it. It's on the ground. Picked up by Jordan Reed, now Thompson. Kansas City has it. This might be meaningful to some. Houston scores a touchdown.
Talk about your bad beats or your lucky wins. Just depends on what side of it you work. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master, if you want to get in today. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll take some calls. 713-780.
Will we, though?
I don't know. Maybe. See how we feel.
Maybe.
I'm kind of okay with a couple of calls today.
What time are the sporting games going on tonight? Both wild cards are today, right?
Yeah.
What time does that happen? Do you know, Jong?
Jong? They're probably over on 94.1, right?
What time are the games on today?
It's 7.
Okay. Is that going to be on our station?
94.1.
All right.
Sports Map Radio, 94.1.
Check them out. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. There you go. Let's do this. I'm in a good mood today.
Are you?
Yes, I'm in a great mood.
What's so great? What's going on with you?
I've been working all day. This is the fun part of my day.
Ah.
Kind of excited to be here today.
Love hanging out with me.
I love doing the show. I love hanging out with the people.
Yeah.
People are awesome. But yeah, I'm also pretty excited. Sports Map's ready to go. We can probably look. Oh, wow, you made it. 402, is that a record? Is that a Hoffman record?
I don't think so. I think he's done it earlier before.
That's my first of the week also. So like,
yeah, but that's okay.
And we're keeping track this week, so I'm up 1-0 because I don't think you had a coughing fit yesterday.
No, I did not.
Weird.
Been doing, I didn't while we were in Beaumont. But something in here is going to set me off today,
yeah.
I can tell you. NL's tomorrow night, people are saying.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, 7 o'clock Yankees-Twins. I feel like I need the Yankees to win, because otherwise that Indians-Twins series does nothing for me.
Yeah. I
would feel like a walkover.
I think the Yankees have a shot at the Twins in a 5-game series. But
at the Indians?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody has a shot at the Indians, but the Indians have a bunch, or the Yankees have a much better shot than the Twins.
I think the Indians deserve to be the favorite, and I think they're going to be tough to beat. But I think the Yankees can play 3 games good enough to beat them. I think the Red Sox and the Astros can play 4 games good enough to beat them. I don't know that they will, but I think they can. So yeah, I'm looking forward. I hope it's the Yankees. I think that's the four best teams, and that's the best matchups. And that'll be the most entertaining. But it's-
and I think the Astros are going to win this series.
Over the Red Sox?
Yeah. I've been thinking about it a lot, and the Astros are significantly better offensively. I would honestly, the only edge I would give the Red Sox is in two spots. I think the Red Sox have the best starting pitcher, which means in game one and game four, they'll have a pitching edge. How great is it? It depends on which Justin Verlander shows up. If the same one that shows up
that's been here
the whole time,
yeah,
the edge that Chris Sale has over him is pretty slim. But Justin Verlander's been the picture of inconsistency over the course of the last 5-6 years. So I think that's one edge that they've got, and the one other one I think they've got is the bullpen.
No, I think almost every team is going to have an edge over the Astros in the bullpen.
I agree.
That's in the playoffs.
Every playoff team.
Yeah.
AL playoff team, and probably most NL playoff teams. But, yeah, that the Astros are a step behind the rest in that regard. But I think the Astros are better than everybody offensively, or at least on paper, they're better than everybody offensively. And I don't know that, you know, in a short series where I just feel like the Astros are the better team here. I feel like they should win. I'm not going to say it would be like a choke job if they lost, but it would be pretty disappointing. Like it would be.
Yeah, it would be a disappointing season if they lost. I mean, they had the best team in baseball most of the year, or best team in the American League most of the year.
Yeah.
Although I do think the Red Sox are, you know, there's not a huge gap between these teams, but I think the Astros are better than they are. And that's the thing about the playoffs, is the better team will have an advantage. But the reality is, man, you get the right pitchers, get hot at the right time. It's like hockey, playoff hockey, where if you get a hot goalie, but man, if Verlander comes out and pitches like Verlander, and Keuchel's Keuchel, and Peacock or whomever comes out and pitches out of their mind, and they get a few hits, series yeah. over. It's so. I mean, this is the best part of baseball season because everything gets ratcheted up, every pitch means more, and I mean, I think the Astros in the off season, and then especially with the addition of Verlander, have put together the kind of guys that will perform in the postseason. I think Beltran, you will see more out of him than what you did in the regular season. You have a guy like Brian McCann. I think Verlander. Those are guys who've all been there. And the Astros guys have some experience from 2 years ago. And I think they learned a lot from that. Where they don't have that guy is the back end of the pen. They don't have a guy who's been in the playoffs and closed games and helped them win games. And I think that's the one thing you'll question. But the reality is I think they're good enough back there. And starting pitching should be good enough. And I know the hitting's good enough.
Yeah, the one thing that I find interesting is in the last few years, bullpen has been the key to winning everything. I mean, you go back, and I think it started with Kansas City when they won.
Yeah.
And really, it started with Kansas City the year that they went and lost. Bullpen is what's getting these teams there. If you've got a strong 7, 8, 9, then you're money in the bank. And that's the one thing that makes me question what the ceiling is for the Astros. Yeah,
I like their 7, 8, 9. I think they're potentially, when they're at their best, they're very good, but they haven't been consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't count on Devinsky to go out there and lock him down for an inning in a tight game. You think he can, you hope he can, and sometimes he will be able to. And Gregerson, I don't trust him at all anymore.
I'll tell you what's an interesting weapon that the Red Sox have in these playoffs is David Price out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
And given David Price's track record in the playoffs, I think it's really smart to have him in the bullpen. Because, I mean, it's not like they're in a situation where they need a guy to start for them. So having him out there takes some pressure off of him. I think he might be like a pretty solid weapon for them. You know, if a guy yeah. starts out early, gets in a little bit of trouble, he could come in and pick you up 4 or 5 innings if he has to. And even, you know, even the Astros don't really have that guy. Like,
no,
you
know, Devinsky's the closest,
but I don't think you're going to ask Devinsky to go 4 innings or something.
No, but in the playoffs, you really shouldn't need anybody to go 4 innings.
You shouldn't.
Because if you're having to pull a guy, unless he gets hurt, but if you're having to pull a guy after an inning and a third, you're not winning that game.
Yeah.
You're probably down 8-0. 713-780-ESPN.
Well, I'm excited for the game. I think that Sale versus Verlander matchup is fantastic.
That's awesome, man. That's what you pay money for.
Yeah. I mean, this is and realistically, if they still had Dallas Keuchel and no Justin Verlander, we'd still be saying Keuchel versus Sale is a great matchup.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I you know, not to say that we were Nostradamus on this or anything, but you and I said back at the, you know, at the beginning of the season, the Astros cannot win the World Series unless they go out and get a frontline starter. And if they had not gotten Justin Verlander, would you even give them a shot to win the World Series?
No.
I wouldn't either. Because, I mean, with the way McCullers has pitched, and everyone said, well, eventually he'll get healthy. Well, guess what? He didn't.
No, he never did.
So, like, if McCullers doesn't get into a game, it won't hurt my feelings because I don't trust him. So the fact that they went out and got Justin Verlander makes them contenders when I think otherwise they wouldn't be.
I agree, because you just need one of those other guys to step up now, and you're hitching your wagon to your top two. That's if those guys lose, oh well. I mean, that's That's just like the Dodgers and Kershaw. If Clayton Kershaw loses, oh well, that's your guy. You put him out there. And now you just need somebody else, whether it's Peacock or whomever, to step up and pitch well. And you don't need him to do it every time. You just need one or two games from him in the playoffs, and you're going to be all right.
I read an article today on Sporting News called MLB Playoffs Ranking the Teams Best Suited to Win the World Series. So basically like a playoff power ranking.
Okay.
You want to take a stab at this?
I'm guessing the Twins are the bottom one.
The Twins are number 9 on the list.
Okay.
It says the Twins probably arrived here a year ahead of schedule, but it's easy to see why they're here now. Byron Buxton's become a star, a good young team. The flaw is the pitching staff is good, not great, and trying to wade through this field of outstanding offensive teams in the AL with a good pitching staff isn't easy. So...
okay.
Number 10 is the Rockies. Right. And the lineup is great, obviously, you know, with Blackman and Arenado at the top of it. DJ LeMahieu, Mark Reynolds, Carlos Gonzalez is hitting now after he didn't hit for the entire season. But they've got a really young pitching staff, probably not enough to get through a month of pitching in the playoffs.
Okay.
Number 8, the Boston Red Sox.
Really?
I mean,
I think the Red Sox are better than that.
I don't know. But everybody on their team offensively has underperformed this year. I mean, Andrew Benintendi, I wouldn't say him because, I mean, he's a rookie and he's a 2020 guy. He's a solid player. But Mookie Betts, who was great last year, had a bad year. Jackie Bradley has had he's had a bad year, period. Not like compared to last year. He's had a bad year. Xander Bogaerts, who looked so great last year, has been off. They don't have anybody who's like wowing you offensively. And really, outside of Chris Sale, which, don't get me wrong, that's like having an ace up your sleeve. What other pitcher do you look at on the Red Sox and go, man, that's going to be scary. I don't want to see that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really not.
No.
So.
See the Maybe that's fair. Maybe that's fair.
It says number 7, the Yankees.
Okay.
And it says, honestly, the Yankees are better than some of the teams higher on this list, but with the one-game wild card situation and having to get past Cleveland in the ALDS, the Yankees face a bigger challenge than, say, Arizona's potential road through the NL.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
Number 6 is Arizona. They talk about the addition of J.D. Martinez, who hit 29 homers in 62 games.
Yeah, he was just on fire from the moment they got him.
Unreal. And then you... talk about Paul Goldschmidt and Jake Lamb. They have a really potent offense. And then Zach Greinke and Robbie Ray at the top. That's pretty good. But their biggest problem, I would say, is Fernando Rodney as their closer.
Yeah.
When, you know, a playoff situation where bullpen's as important as it gets, it ain't very good for them. Number 5, the Dodgers. And this is a team that won 104 games. And they are number 5. It says...
the way they've played over the last couple months.
Well, that's kind of what he says. He says, I realize September performance is no guarantee of October performance, but this has looked like a different team in the past month or so. Finished 13-22 after peaking at 55 games over .500. They hit .235 in August as a team and .225 in September. The reality is they weren't really as good as they looked when they won 56 of 67 games. Or as bad as they looked when they lost 16 of 17 immediately after that run. Is the middle ground good enough to make it through a very tough NL field? Number 4, the Cubs. And it says they're not as dominant as they were last year, but this Cubs team is still very good and playing its best baseball right now, which is true. I don't know if I trust the middle relief on that team to get to Wade Davis. And their pitching has been... hot and cold in the last few, even when they've been good here the last few months. Number 3, the Nationals, who, you know, probably have, when you think of playoff rotations, you're talking about your top 3 guys.
Yeah.
I think the Nationals have the best top 3 guys in Scherzer, Strasburg, and Gio Gonzalez. All of them with an ERA under 3. If they all pitch well, they're tough. But you know, you've got a banged up Bryce Harper. You've got You've got Scherzer now, who's got hamstring issues. How healthy are you? I don't know. Number two, it's got the Astros.
Cash
is maybe a little surprising.
I don't know. I think that's fair, although they've got to get through the Indians, too, who we assume are number one.
And then it says, everyone's talking about Justin Verlander, but Dallas Keuchel's atop the rotation, but the lineup is out of this world. This is a complete team. If they get through the, if they get through the AL, they win the World Series, it says.
Well, that's what I was saying all along. I think if they get the World Series, they win it. Same thing with the Indians. I think they'll – now, if you get the Yankees or Red Sox get through, I don't know that that's the case, but I think those two teams – yeah, I agree with that ranking.
And then, of course, it says the Indians – this team has everything necessary to win in the postseason. They've got a rotation led by a bona fide ace, followed by guys capable of tossing up six or seven shutout innings any given start. They have a lockdown bullpen anchored by Andrew Miller and Cody Allen. They have a lineup with MVP candidates, and it's just it's tough all the way through. And they've got a manager who's won two World Series titles and knows how to win. And this is a team that's experienced. This is basically the same team that they had last year in the playoffs.
And with Edwin Encarnacion on it.
Yeah, that went to extra innings in Game 7 of the World Series against a team that basically
nobody thought could lose. All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Triangle Energy. This is a born and raised in Texas company. They care about providing a good, low electricity rate, and they provide tools to help you decrease the amount of energy your home uses. So not only are they giving you a good rate, they're trying to make your home more energy efficient all around so you use less energy. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get a discount, and if you're in the CenterPoint territory, you'll get the Smart Energy 36 plan locked in at 8.9 cents for 3 years. That includes the all-new EcoBee 4 thermostat with Alexa voice service. You can ask your EcoBee to set a timer, read you the news, adjust the temperature. It basically can do everything any other Alexa can do. It's a really amazing tool. Triangle Energy will also install it for free. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TRIEagleEnergy.com. It's Triangle Energy, PUCT license number 10064.
The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page, Twitter, text us. You know how to do it. Hope everybody's having a happy Tuesday. So you know who wrote a column for SportsMap for me?
Juggalo Trey.
No, the legendary John Granato.
That was my second guess.
It would have been your second guess, I'm sure. I bet your second guess would have been John Lee.
No, it would have been Juggalo Trey.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the site will be live tomorrow, and I did tweet out last night a link to John's story, so if you want to check it out, you can, and you can get an idea of what the site looks like, but sort of a sneak preview. But it's not actually up and running yet. It will be. Tomorrow morning, and then we'll be at the launch party tomorrow at Hotel Zaza. Is that as fancy as it sounds, John?
I guess. I've only been there once.
It's fancy.
Yeah. So I'm just curious because I don't think I've ever been there for anything. But we'll be there for that doing the show.
What are you going to wear?
Well, I'll wear something really nice.
Okay. Like a suit?
Maybe not necessarily a suit, but a jacket and slacks. And
damn it.
Maybe I'll trot out my Westworld cowboy hat.
What about nice jeans and a jacket?
I'd go with slacks.
With a dress shirt.
I'd go with slacks.
Ugh.
Just like you would dress for a fight. How's that?
Jeans and a polo. There we go.
Do you wear jeans at the fight? I always thought you wore like
dress. I'm doing ring announcing.
But I'm like when we go to Vegas, don't you always like wear slacks?
No. Last time I wore jeans.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, I have like dressier jeans. They're not like just regular old blue jeans. But all right.
409 says Zaza's very fancy. My buddy goes there to pick up cougars.
Good for him.
And Patton League City says that's where babies are made. Interesting. Maybe I shouldn't invite my wife then. I don't know. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Man, well, this sucked for me I didn't bet the game last night. But it was right near the end, and I'm watching it, and my TV goes out. Brand new TV. And I was on the phone with him for an hour. It's some little box that you have to attach to the power source or something. And so they have to send me a new one. It's going to take like 4 days.
Jeez.
And I'm like, really? So I got to, I mean, I've got the one upstairs and the one downstairs, but that's my big TV. That's one I watch football on.
Right.
So I didn't see what happened at the end of the game. There was like 2 minutes left when it happened. I start getting texts from people. Holy bleep. Can you believe that? I got screwed. And of course, one guy, how awesome was that?
Yeah.
Just depends on which side you were on. Both the under and the line.
It would, for me, it wouldn't have changed anything. And I didn't play the game. Had I played it, I would have been on Washington and the over.
Okay, so you would have.
I would have washed either way. But I did find it interesting that that's the way it went. And someone had asked me before the game, you know, would you tease? And luckily he teased because he was talking about the over-under.
Right.
And I said, honestly, I would lean the over on this game because I think there's going to be some points scored. And with about 2 minutes left, he tweeted and was like, I'm glad I stuck to my gut on this. And I was like, well, you would have been fine either way, but just so you know, the game went over.
Yeah.
Here's the sort of, I would think more public bettors, one, because kind of what we say all the time is the public is generally on the favorites and the public is generally on overs.
Right.
And so it went from being a underdog under game to a favorite over game. So it went from being a sharp game to a public game.
Yeah.
So I hope that our listeners hit on that. But then I also like to think that our listeners tend to be a little sharper.
Yeah, I think they're a little more savvy out there with our guys. I bet the under in Redskins yesterday, went downstairs for a drink to celebrate, went back up confused. But that's one where I saw all these bad beat stories today on the internet. It's kind of, well, yeah, but it was also lucky win story.
Right.
And if you bet the Redskins, I think you feel like you were on the right side of it. You just got unlucky. There is a luck element to this.
No doubt.
And we talk about this a little bit on the show that's going to air tonight. RJ Bell and myself over on SportsMap 94.1. You can hear it in FM now.
Look at you.
FM quality.
What a star.
But on the SB Nation network. But I do think that sometimes in gambling, and I'll get into this in more detail on the show, it's you, when you evaluate it, if you took the Redskins last night, you just say, okay, you know what? I was right. Didn't work out. If you took the Chiefs, you know what? Thanks. Thanks for the gift.
Yeah.
You appreciate it. So,
seven. If you took the Chiefs, you gave up too many points is what it boils
down
to.
Yeah, it did. But it
should be a lesson learned.
Yeah, it should be. But that's the thing. You're cashing a ticket.
But I think what we can agree on, the Chiefs are really good. And Alex Smith has figured something out. I don't know if the Chiefs regret taking Patrick Mahomes right now. But they're going to be put into – I think that no matter what happens, they're going to be in a tough spot at the end of this year because I think Alex Smith is going to – I'm almost certain he's going to take him to the playoffs. And I think he may win maybe more than one playoff game. And if that happens –
Well, but that's always been the knock on this team.
Is he hasn't done it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If he does, what do you do in that situation?
Well, you –
You turn Patrick Mahomes into Aaron Rodgers?
He sits on the bench for another year.
Sit around, bro.
I think he's a guy who needs more than a year.
But is that in that case, do you franchise tag Alex Smith?
He's got another year on his contract left after this, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought that this was his last year in Kansas City.
No, I think he's got 2 years left.
Okay.
And then the idea was...
The idea was they would cut him at the end of this year,
yeah,
right?
if it doesn't work out, or... If he's still good, then give Mahomes another year to develop under Andy Reid.
Okay.
And I think that would be the best move because in 2 years, and then Smith's going to be getting up there by then too.
Yeah.
In 2 years with Andy Reid, I think he would turn Mahomes into something.
Although Alex Smith was in the same draft class as Aaron Rodgers, so.
That's true.
And we don't feel like Aaron Rodgers is old.
I think he's on the back nine, so to speak.
Oh, for sure. But I don't think anybody's too worried about him, you know, falling off.
Yeah,
just yet.
If you cut Alex Smith, you get $17 million in cap savings next year.
Oh, I'm sure they'd love that. But if he's got them, you know, humming into the playoffs, I think you got to keep him.
Well, and I think you would. And give the guy another year to develop. So you got him under contract through 2018. And, yeah, I don't think they regret that. I do think, though, that right now, I think they're one of the best teams in the AFC. We'll see how the season plays out. I also worry a little bit about the only thing that concerns me about the Chiefs, and I like the Chiefs a lot, is they're so good at finding these skill guys like Hunt and Tariq Hill, but there's not a lot of depth behind those guys right. If something happens. And so much of their offense depends on them. And Hill's a little guy, and Hunt's in his first season, so who knows? Right now, though, as constructed, I'd take him.
It's so funny. I don't understand why I don't think of Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers as old. But when I look at the rest of their draft class, most of these guys aren't even in the league anymore. And the ones that are, I think of as like old guys. Ronnie Brown, Braylon Edwards, Cedric Benson, Cadillac Williams, Pac-Man Jones, Troy Williamson, Entrell Roll, Carlos Rogers, Mike Williams. That's the draft that Mike Williams got drafted by the Lions out of USC. DeMarcus Ware and Sean Merriman. Jamal Brown, Thomas Davis, Derek Johnson. Travis Johnson was the Texans pick that year. That's the year the Jags took Matt Jones. Roddy White came out that year. Almost everybody's out of the league except those two guys.
Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, Pac-Man Jones still hanging around. Vincent Jackson, is he still? He might be done. Frank Gore was in that draft. He's still hanging in there.
Interesting.
Well, I think the Chiefs have a situation where the Chargers a few years ago had that Philip Rivers, Drew Brees situation.
Might be.
Although this situation, I don't think is as nearly as great as the other one because Drew Brees became like a great quarterback.
Right. But I think Alex Smith is going to he's making them at least rethink that decision because remember they gave up multiple draft picks to get Patrick Mahomes and. They could have been building around Alex Smith now. Imagine if they would have got somebody who could help him right now. They could be even better than they are.
Well, they've done a pretty good job of drafting over the last few years, though.
Yeah. I just find that interesting. And I wonder no one expected Alex Smith to be the best quarterback in the league 4 weeks into the season, myself included. And I'm sure Kansas City brass didn't think that would be the case either. But you wouldn't have gone and taken a guy in the top 10 of the draft to play quarterback when there was a lot still available that could have helped you for this season.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If I'm them, I feel pretty good about the situation. The guy's playing great. And if he gets you where you want to go, great. And if he doesn't, well, you've got the next guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I like what they did.
Okay.
But somebody was asking, why is Kansas City only -1.5? That game actually opened even.
The Kansas City and the Texans?
Yeah.
Well, it's here. I mean, that's part of it.
It's here. I actually like the Texans.
People are excited about Deshaun Watson. Yeah, you like the Texans to win that game?
Yeah, I do. I do.
All right.
Well, we'll get to that later in the week, but I feel pretty good about it, actually. So,
all right, I got to tell you about dirt-free carpet cleaning. It's football season now. You got people coming over to watch the games, and you don't want them to go in your house and see a dirty floor. You don't want them thinking you're living like a pig. Well, that's where dirt-free carpet can come in and take care of some things. It's a great time to clean your carpets and tile floors with dirt-free carpet cleaning. Get the fall special for a limited time only. Dirt-free will clean one room for free. And they'll give you a $100 free speed dry with any purchase over $120. Free room can be carpet or tile, doesn't matter. The other guys, they leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick. Not the case with Dirt Free. 281 Dirt Free. Go toxic chemical free with Dirt Free Carpet. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, even your air ducts. 281 Dirt Free. Tell me you heard here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll clean one room free with any purchase and throw in that free speed dry. 281 Dirt Free, 281-347.
On your knees, dog.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we are back on The Blitz. The journey to Jacksonville has begun. We're giving away a trip for two to Jacksonville, Florida, to see Houston take on Jacksonville. Log on to ESPN975.com and find out the three ways to qualify for the grand prize drawing on November 24th. You could win a three-night stay at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel, downtown Jacksonville Riverfront. Go to the football game on December 17th at Everbank Field and play a round of golf at the Hidden Hills Golf Club, all courtesy of Florida's First Coast of Golf. Visit Florida and ESPN975. That's actually an underrated trip, and the person who told me it was an underrated trip is our guest, the legendary Jerome Solomon. What's up, Jerome?
What's up, gentlemen?
Yeah, I would take that trip to Jacksonville again. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. Jacksonville's not a bad little spot for a little hole in the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have never thought that. That's like a place I would avoid.
I never had a good time there until this time. And I went and we had a blast, and I would go again. So.
Oh, yeah. No, and regardless of the time of the year, you take your golf clubs, good place to play, and not bad at all for Southern Alabama.
Well, Mr. Solomon, how about your quarterback? You finally seem to have one over there.
He's just like we predicted, right?
Yeah, everyone knew it.
It's pretty interesting to watch a guy develop and play, and I've always said it, and especially I've been saying it for weeks with him, is like, stop telling me about rookie mistakes and, oh, we made a rookie mistake. Have y'all watched quarterbacking in the NFL? Those aren't mistakes that only rookies make. You know what I mean? I think people overdo that, and you're thinking the guy makes a mistake because he's a rookie. But when it comes to Deshaun Watson, they truly are rookie mistakes because Bill O'Brien has said it from day one, and it's somewhat coach speak, we thought, but he learns from his mistakes. He learns quickly. He doesn't tend to make the same mistake more than once. I mean, obviously, you're going to make them, but at least you know you're making it and you get it. You can see him develop in the middle of games. He gets better, it seems, not just from game to game. It's impressive.
And I have to say, as much as I've been critical of Bill O'Brien's play calling, he seems to be doing a great job with what he's calling for Watson. Some of the misdirections, they ran the option on the goal line. It just looks like a totally different set of play calls.
Yeah, and I think that extra time for the coming off of the Thursday night game, you had a week and a half to really put some things in. And yeah, it doesn't take a genius to know that you need to use Deshaun Watson's entire arsenal. I mean, and they're using it. They used it, at least they used it last weekend, and that's smart coaching. That's good coaching, and you got to be willing to make those calls and use what you have. But I'm hesitant to, you know, get on the Bill O'Brien bandwagon in terms of that, because we've seen so much bad off limited quarterbacks who obviously weren't able to do this. Brian just didn't seem to have the ability to draw it up. Maybe he's found his wheelhouse with Deshaun Watson, but what took you so long to realize that that's the kind of guy you needed?
Well, I think what Deshaun Watson does that the other guys haven't been able to do is when whatever crappy play Bill O'Brien draws up falls apart, Deshaun Watson can make something out of it.
Yeah, and you left out the part about when the offensive line breaks down.
Yeah, although
they were better than they were.
Yeah, early, I got to give them some credit this week. They look good.
Great though. They were better. They were better, but he still pulls off some miracle escapes that, you know, has a lot more to do with him than anything else. But yeah, no, it's I do. I know you guys mentioned it the other day, and I heard AJ talk about that. You know, a quarterback with some mobility should help your offensive line in more cases than not, and he certainly does that because, you know, he extends plays. He's not just running to run either. He runs and looks up and gets rid of the ball and makes passes. And anytime a quarterback avoids sacks, it makes the line look better. And he tends to avoid sacks, and he knows how to be on his way down and throw it out of bounds and not just take a knee and succumb to the rush every time. So, yeah, he's a really, really good player for four games into his NFL career. It should be exciting watching him go forward.
Well, what do you think? I mean, obviously, we've seen a couple good games out of him. We've seen a couple meh games out of him, too. What do you think he really is for the rest of this season? Do you think he's – because if he plays every game like he did this week, he's obviously a rookie of the year. If he plays every game like he did in Cincinnati or against the second half against Jacksonville, he's not. What do you think the real Deshaun Watson is for the rest of this first season?
Yeah, but the first game against Jacksonville was the first time he stepped out on the field against a team that was just crushing, so it didn't matter. The Cincinnati game, he was better than you give him credit for. He did – and he was working with Bill O'Brien calling plays. He did what needed to be done to win that game, and he continued to improve, and he got better the next week and better the next week. No, I mean, forget the numbers and the statistics. We're going to get – I think he's – well, obviously it's a given. This is silly to say, but he's going to be a better quarterback by game 16 than he was against the Titans. Hey, that doesn't – going to put up those numbers and throw for 8 touchdowns and run for a couple – but he's going to get better and continue to get better. So I think the floor for him is where he plays a pretty good and average game. And but, you know, as I said earlier, you know, veteran quarterbacks, really good veteran quarterbacks, have average games and below average games when things break down. So we're going to overanalyze it and overdo it. He's a good quarterback. How much better can he be? Can he be a great one? That will be determined over the next few years. But he's already a good quarterback, and we should expect good play from him. Of course, he can go out Sunday, and Justin Houston and the boys get loose and sack him before he gets to escape, but the line falls apart, and we'll go, oh, he played terrible. Well, no, he's maybe didn't have a chance. So we'll see how he goes. But no, I don't expect him to come out and look lost. I expect him to have some horrible games, though.
Let me ask you the question that I asked Fred yesterday. If I give you the choice and you can have this quarterback going forward for the rest of his career, would you take Andrew Luck, Marcus Mariota, or Deshaun Watson?
I would take Andrew Luck just because it's Andrew Luck. I mean, I know what Andrew Luck can do, and he's done it for a much longer time. Now, how broke is he? I don't know. You know, he may be broken in the pieces that may not be able to recoup, but I don't think it's that wide of a gap between him and Deshaun Watson. Not the players. I mean, wide of a gap in making that choice. I mean, I think it's not a coin flip because, you know, we need to see a lot more from Deshaun Watson than we've seen to this point. But Deshaun Watson is in the discussion. And you wouldn't have asked that question 2 weeks ago, right?
No.
You know? No. So now you can actually ask the question,
right,
which means Deshaun must have showed enough for us even to have the discussion.
Oh, he absolutely impressed me.
All right. Did we lose Jerome?
Uh-oh.
I think he disappeared on us. Oh, well.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're done with time anyway. Jerome, always great stuff. Are we going to see?
No problem.
We're going to see.
You didn't want to talk about Brandon Wheaton signing with the Titans and whether we would take him as head?
I bet they wish they had him instead. I bet they wish they had him instead of Tom Savage right now.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
You you like the Astros over
the
Red Sox?
They brought in, though. That's what cracked me up more than anything.
Did I see what?
The guys the Titans brought in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mesh. Wheaton, TJ Yates, McGoin and Matt Barkley. Like I said, they didn't even work them out. They just had them stand for the national anthem, you know. Whoever looked the best standing there. Okay, you're good.
You like
he just wanted to do that. That's the only reason you brought that up. You've been saving
it's
that.
It's breaking news.
You've been saving about that line ever since the news came that they signed Wheaton.
No, he tweeted it out.
Oh, no wonder. Of course.
You like the Astros over the Sox this week?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think Chris Sale is the kind of guy that after you face him, you don't get your swing back for a couple of days or something. You know, there are some great pitchers like that, and he's a great one. So I think he could shut the Astros down, and they can still come out and score 9 runs on, you know, the next day, on Friday. So, and I think their offense is that good where they can put up numbers even if they don't win game one, I still like them. But, you know, at home, I wouldn't be surprised if they can muster out enough to handle him. And like you said earlier, if Verlander is the Verlander we've seen of late, they won't need a whole lot of runs to get past the Red Sox to get that win in game one. And over the course of the series, it's a short one. But, yeah, I think the Astros they have the best offense in the league, in the American League, and that offense is going to help them out.
And that is the legendary Jerome Solomon. Jerome, we're going to see you at the party tomorrow?
I'm giving it some thought.
Yeah, good. Hopefully we will. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right, fellas. Bye.
Hey, guys, you want to get in on the action? Maybe you were in on the action last night and you were on the good side or the bad side, whatever side you were on. Hopefully you did it on mybookie.ag. Industry-leading website, best place for you to cash in on all the exciting sports action. In-game betting, which is great. If you miss the start of the game, which I do sometimes, you get in-game betting, you can do that. And they've got a great mobile site that makes it very, very easy. So if you're in your car, you can pull over on the side of the road and make your bet right now. And if you join now, mybookie.ag will match your deposit with a bonus of up to 100%. And if you're tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a withdrawal, well, that's where mybookie.ag comes in. Decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, no fine print. You get the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. Call 844-900-BETS or visit mybookie.ag to open an account. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at mybookie.ag. Sign up today. We are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Hey, Beaumont. We're coming back.
Hey, Boner.
Luke's Ice House, Friday, join the usual suspects and the Blitz at Luke's Ice House on Calder Avenue from 1 until 7. Actually, you really only need to be there 4 until 7. If you want to get there at, say, 3:45 and say hello to Nick and Joel and make them feel better, you can do that. But, Joel, Nick, Fred, and AJ will broadcast their shows live and get you ready for football. Courtesy of Miller Lite and Coors Light. How about that? Back to Beaumont. What the heck was that?
Hey, Boner.
Okay.
Did you record that on your phone?
No, it's George Takei.
Jeez. See, that's what we need to do is you need to get like a little speaker for your computer. That way you don't need a button. You can just pull stuff up and go.
You know what? Even when I was in Austin, and we had like I had a cable that I could plug into my laptop.
Yeah.
And I could play sound directly from my laptop. The cable went to the board, so it would go out over the air. I don't know why we can't have that. My own sounds. Play my own audio.
It'd be a good idea. Well, if you just got one of those little speakers that's really good, it's not close enough to your microphone, I bet it would work.
Yeah.
And then you could have all the boners you want.
It needs to be a direct line in. I don't know.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, direct line in.
Oh.
Chris says, I was wondering if a baseball team says they are pitching a player, why don't you stack your rotation with a worse one, then play your aces against the worst pitchers? That way you're in a better position. Real question. I'm not a baseball guy. So I think what he's asking is, let's say the Red Sox are throwing Chris Sale game one. Why don't you throw out Charlie Morton game one
and then have Verlander
go game two when there's, but because you want to, I feel like you want to, and especially in a series like this, you've got a chance to pitch Verlander twice.
Right.
You want your best guys to pitch as often as possible. That's why it's ideal for your best guy to pitch game one. I mean, it's an interesting thought process, but most teams don't like to punt a game in a playoff series.
Right. Although the positive of that is if you manage to win it without your best guy, you're in great shape for the series.
Yeah.
But in a five-game series, you can't do it. A seven-game series, I might think about it. But even then, I mean, I want my guy pitching 1-4-7 if he has to.
Yeah.
So.
Scott says it would be refreshing if Kevin Sumlin used Kellen Mond the way OB used Watson this weekend. Decent arm and racehorse legs. Yeah, except Kellen Mond is not very good at football. He's looking better, but I still think
he's not. He's just not the passer that Deshaun Watson is.
As a passer, yeah.
And really, if you watch Watson, and this is one of the few things O'Brien said in his press conference that makes sense. He's a pass first guy. He's a passer. Yeah. He takes off and runs when it's not there. Mond is a runner.
That's because Mond isn't a passer, so right. he's got to be a runner. I don't think it's by design necessarily, but that's what he's stuck doing.
Let's squeeze in a phone call. Chris.
Christoph.
You're on the Blitz.
Hey. How's it going, man? I just wanted to get y'all's insight on the Rookie of the Year situation with Watson, Hunt, and Fournette doing so well that, you know, Hunt's tied and setting records. Watson's doing the same thing, and Fournette came in with a lot of expectations. If they all stay healthy, what's y'all's opinion on it?
Boy.
The four-game MVP or Rookie of the Year discussion.
Rookie of the Year.
I love it. All right, after four games, I still have Kareem Hunt first.
But, I think I do, too.
But if they all continue on the same trajectory, Watson would win it because he's a quarterback.
Yeah. Well,
and he will have put up 4,000 yards in his first season.
What if Kareem Hunt keeps this up and the Chiefs are 13-3?
It's a possibility, but then you're probably looking at Alex Smith MVP. For MVP.
Could very well be. Yeah, that's a tough call. It's a little too early for me to make a call on that, but yeah, I don't know which one of those guys I'd go with. It'd be Hunt or Watson for me right now. And yeah, I feel bad for Dalvin Cook because he was on that path too.
I feel bad for Dalvin Cook because he was on my fantasy team.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz, presented by Big City Wings on Highway 6 on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And